Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. This is episode 2 of The Failed Cities Hath a Darkness. If this is your first time listening, you will want to go to variantfrequencies.com and start with episode 1. There will be 2 episodes a week between December 1st, 2009 and Christmas Day. As an added bonus, at the end of each episode, we will bring you one song from Abney Park's Dark Christmas album. But that's not all. We will be giving away one copy of their new album, Aether Shanties. To enter our contest, send an email to me at variantfrequencies@gmail.com, telling me who your favorite character is from the Failed Cities monologues. We will be drawing the winner randomly from those emails. Now, we have a brief word from our sponsor. Most of us now use a BlackBerry, iPhone, or Palm to check email when we're out of the office. But it's not enough. You need access to the files and programs on your office computer. GoToMyPC is the tool that will give you complete access to everything on your computer from anywhere. For you Macintosh users, GoToMyPC currently has a Mac beta. Just go to their site and follow the GoToMyPC for Mac beta link. With GoToMyPC, you're actually operating your computer from any other computer. Access your programs, files, everything you need to work from anywhere. All you need is an internet connection. Our listeners can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited remote access free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for a free trial. Now, on to our story. Part 2, The Failed Cities Hath a Darkness, The Maven, by Matt Wallace. Your sins don't forget you during the holidays. And for the Maven, Master Street Mediator, sometimes they haunt you in the form of an urgent call to a life-or-death hostage crisis. They say old soldiers never really die. At least the Maven certainly hopes so.
As a black snowfall blankets the failed cities on Christmas Eve, the arrival of 99 mysterious steel chambers sets a series of far-from-blessed events in motion. 8 people become links in a deadly chain that will either tether innocent lives to safety or strangle any hope for their future. And as each part of the story unfolds, we learn that above all things, Christmas in the failed cities is a feverishly struck balance between the constant threat of violence and the briefest, most bittersweet moments of joy.
Optimal ways to spend Christmas Eve. Plans on file. A. Surrounded by naive serving girls under the spell of a 1,000 times retread war story, with an alluring sprig of mistletoe glued to your belt buckle. B. 2 parts eggnog, several dozen parts brandy. C. Nursing a pixel-degraded hologram of a daughter who only knows you exist because the sperm had to come from somewhere. Optimal ways to spend Christmas Eve, plans not on file. seducing four frag-toting mercenaries out of a warehouse in the freezing cold, while 100 tiny lives hang in the balance. My night started out decently enough, decent by an old soldier's standards anyway, that old soldier being me. The fire was stoked at the MC Union, sole sanctuary of street mediators and their watchers. They'd hired a new waitress, far too young to recognize a future regret when it orders a double dickle and a roast beef sandwich with steak fries from her. And I'd just guillotined the end of a cigar rolled by hand in the Canary Islands and moistened shut with the lips of a nubile African goddess. When the SOS went up from the street preachers, I hid behind my glass in a cloud of sugary smoke and let Beringer brave the 10-below acid fall outside. An hour later, his watcher came back wearing blood up both arms like a pair of hot red gauntlets, ready to commit Harry Carey over not being able to jump in front of the two slugs that came through a warehouse wall and tagged Beringer in the chest. I fortified myself against the cold with one more drink and then grabbed my kit and a heavy coat. The difference between a street mediator and a hostage negotiator is simply that we very rarely give a shit whether the hostage taker or takers make it out alive. Altruism is for government employees. Bearing that in mind, I don't make the same mistake Beringer probably did. I'm not going to negotiate with these mutts, especially after Ethan briefs me on things. Instead, I bounce an invisible laser mic through one of the big round bullet holes in the warehouse wall, and then I wait. It takes a while. They're obviously professionals, disciplined. But eventually one of them barks an order, a question, gets just antsy enough to use a name. It's enough to get things started. But with four of them in there, to really light a spark, I need another. It takes another hour, but one of them finally cracks and lets it slip. I've got two of their names, and right now they're more lethal than every round of ammo in that warehouse. I get on a parabolic horn that puts my voice inside with them. I'm still not going to walk up on one of those walls. I don't know who their boss is, but in their line of work, they usually don't either. You can feel worse for the ones whose names I know or the two I don't. I suppose it all depends on who starts shooting first. I tell them they fucked up. I tell them I'm their control and I've made arrangements with all these very angry men out here with large phallic sticks waiting to beat them to death. I name two of them, instruct them to take down their partners and come out. It doesn't matter if they believe me. It doesn't matter if they do what I tell them. I just need one merc in that warehouse to start thinking I know something they don't. I just need one of them to get paranoid and let it touch their trigger finger. Just one. The sound of the firefight is more like a trilling than a full chorus. There are no screams or shouts from inside the warehouse when it's over. I guess they were all good shots. It's a hell of a thing, talking four well-trained, heavily armed corporate spooks into blasting each other for no reason. You don't feel particularly clever or accomplished. You just feel like you could be using these powers for good instead of evil. Or maybe I was just pissed off and thought Beringer should have been able to ring in the new year with the rest of us. I got lucky. The mercs kept their spreads tight, even in the heat of the moment, and none of the kids inside got hurt. Their pods are lined up in rows of 11. The street preachers go about opening them up, letting the newborns breathe fresh air, probably for the first time in their little lab-engineered lives. None of them notice it till I do. But then, I'm supposed to have superhuman powers of observation. It's how I earn a mythic mediator tag like the Maven. The symbol is engraved on each of the stasis pods. It's a golden lyre, the Nicodemus Consortium. I personally brokered a tentative truce between them and the street preachers not so long ago. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. In this part of the world, I can't think of who else has the money and general indifference to trade in cloned flesh this flawless. So we're now standing knee-deep in stolen consortium merchandise and the blood of their employees. It's what our good Reverend Ethan would probably call, in his quaint, transplanted vernacular, a pickle. Normally his policy would be to give back what was stolen, do whatever it takes to keep the peace with the consortium. But he takes a dim view of white slavery. So do I. There's an underground for clones. The eugenics railroad, if you will. Not surprising, considering they have no rights as citizens or even human beings in most countries, including this one. Remember what I said about altruism? Well, fuck it. It is Christmas, after all. So now, all we need is someone trustworthy, and I'm talking beyond reproach, to take our new billion-dollar charges to ground while Ethan and I try to stall the consortium. Luckily, I know a guy.
Thank you for listening to The Failed Cities, Hath a Darkness, by Matt Wallace. Narrated by Jan Dalton. Music by Neil Stringer, Abney Park, and Digital Juice. Abney Park's website is abneypark.com, and Digital Juice is at digitaljuice.com. To find out more about Variant Frequencies, please go to our website at variantfrequencies.com. If you like Variant Frequencies, tell your friends about us. Thank you from the Variant Frequencies team.
In a future where noir, cyberpunk, and visceral horror make mind-bending bedfellows, the only thing that separates a forsaken urban sprawl from a half-finished technological utopia is 16 miles of river. They're known as the Failed Cities. Two worlds populated by shadow agents, street soldiers, reluctant detectives, and femme fatales. When a single conspiracy touches them all, the story can only be told in their voices. Ethan, the street preacher. Truck, the hot-rodding neo-hipster knifesmith. The Feral Twins, whose passion for death and each other is the only escape from their own tormented psyches. Just a few of the characters that drive one of the most unique storytelling experiences in fiction today. J.C. Hutchins, author of the Seventh Son trilogy, calls the Failed Cities monologues gritty, imaginative, believable. T. Morris, author of Moravi, says the Failed Cities monologues creates a chilling tapestry of inner darkness that finds its outside voice. It's not a matter of wanting to listen. You have to. Visit PodioBooks.com to hear the series that's redefining the rules of podcast fiction. Variant Frequencies presents The Failed Cities Monologues by Matt Wallace. 8 lives, 2 cities, 1 story.
Get this book and more free titles from PodioBooks.com.